ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation.
Oh, my friends, welcome. 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 It's Denise, and you're listening to the Lesbian Lounge. Oh, yes, you are. Okay, so you could be listening to a podcast that you found on iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean, or maybe it's Wednesday at 3 p.m. and you're listening from rainbowradio.fm. I'm not quite sure. Wherever you're listening from, though, hello, hello. Again, it's Denise. This is a Lesbian Lounge. A couple of things you might be wondering about, probably right at this moment. Where's she from? I'm from Florida, but I am now in London, and I am bringing this to you via the internet. And, yeah, why is Let It Go playing? Oh, my friends. We'll get to that. We've got a lot in store today. We've got some news and hot topics, as usual. We got a great interview with out musician Melissa Farrick, who is the She Magazine cover girl this month. And you can read the entire interview with Melissa at www.shemag.com. And we're going to play a little bit of an excerpt from our chat on this show later on. But let me explain Let It Go a little bit more. We had a fun weekend this weekend. On Friday, Gemma and I and Hazel did fish and chips, and then we went to see Disney Pixar's Inside Out. Emotional, I must say. I cried a few times. A little bit. But it was funny. It was, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie for the kids and for adults. Very cool. And then on Saturday, Gemma and Hazel and I drove down to Seaford, where Lucy and Mandy Burton's campsite is at. They're at a lovely little place. I think it's called Buckles Holiday Resort for campers, and it's wedged between, oddly enough, a train line and the English Channel. So it is seaside, and we had a blast. It was like Lucy, Mandy, their daughter Martha, Linda Bellingham, Ruth, the bass player for Eek. You know Lucy and Mandy are from Eek, the girl band we love over here. So Ruth was there, too. So it was a bunch of us. And we drank ciders, and we played a little iPod roulette. I'll play a couple of songs that we used throughout the afternoon on this show. We got some sun. Gemma went swimming in the English Channel with Martha. Crashed that off the bucket list. And then this is a song that was in the little short film Lava before Inside Out played about, I think it was about a volcano looking for love. All ukulele, all the time.
A long, long time ago, there was a volcano. Living all alone in the middle of the sea.
Yeah, that one got stuck in my head for the weekend.
He sat high.
Anyway, so Gemma and little Martha went swimming in the English Channel. And then when they got back, Gemma was doing some crazy hairdos on Linda and Ruth, who you can check that out all on my Facebook page. By the end of the salon session, Ruth was looking a lot like Angelica from the Rugrats, and, just sitting there getting your hair done, drinking ciders. When you stand up, you got a little buzz going. So she did a beautiful interpretive dance to Let It Go. And that was why I played it. Just in case she needed her memory jarred. Because I know it's burned into mine. I will never forget it. But it was a really fun afternoon. We seriously had some laughs. Later on, Eek drummer Karen and her partner Lucy showed up. And, you know, camping is what it is. I don't think anybody really wanted to do a lot of strenuous cooking and all that kind of stuff. So we ordered a massive amount of pizzas from Domino. And the best part about it was that Mandy drove over to pick him up and took Ruth with her while Ruth still had the Angelica Rugrats hair. Totally forgetting that she had her hair like that. Went to Domino's to pick up the pizzas. Fucking awesome. Awesome. But it was really a super fun day. It was very chill. Everybody was just had their iPod. You know, it was kind of like you have your iPod on and you're going through songs and you go, oh, there's 3 or 4 good ones in a row. I'll let this play. And then you kind of forget about it. And then, like, a Barry Manilow song comes up and it's like, oh, you're done. Off you go. And then the next person puts their iPod in and picks out songs and stuff that everybody would like. And it was just super fun. We chatted, we drank, everybody got a little sun. It was very relaxing, a great, great spot. They're like, wait, I mean, I'm of course, I'm American, I'm from Florida. I don't understand the whole concept of camping, like bringing the entire contents of your home someplace else, not that far away, to set up, unload, you know, get it all. It's just the amount of work is incredible. But you know what? The Brits love it. The Brits love it. I kind of get it. Once you're sitting there and you got your sports chair out and you're crashed in it and you got a cider in your hand and all kinds of stuff's going on. You can hear the waves crashing. You know, there's families everywhere that are either cooking out, playing Frisbee. You know, it's a great atmosphere. It really is. And we really, really enjoyed ourselves. It was a really fun day. And then, like, on Sunday was just laundry and cleaning. Oh, and before I forget, Sunday was also Aunt Joanne's birthday up in Niagara Falls. So happy birthday, you meatball-making, Tupperware-counting matriarch of the family. I did get to see a couple pictures on Facebook. Looks like she had a nice day. I'll be checking in with her later. And then, as per usual, back to work on Monday. So, a pretty fun weekend overall, says the girl who had cramps in her period throughout it all. Never let it get in the way. That's right, you heard me. So, you know what? On to non-menstrual related news. How's that? On Thursday, the trailer was released for a movie called About Ray, in which Elle Fanning plays a teenager who transitions from female to male during the course of the film. The family drama originally was called Three Generations, and it co-stars Oscar nominee Naomi Watts as Ray's single mother, who must track down the child's biological father, Tate Donovan, to get his legal consent to allow Ray's transition. And Susan Sarandon plays Ray's lesbian grandmother who struggles to accept her grandchild's gender identity, stating, I don't know why she can't just be a lesbian. It looks super emotional, super intense. And a few, you know, funny, cute moments caught in the trailer. About Ray was directed by Gabby Dalal, who co-wrote the script with Nicole Beckwith. The film was acquired by the Weinstein Group at Cannes Film Festival on, I think it was this past May. For $6 million, and it will hit the cinemas on September 18th in limited release. So let's get out there and show our support, because it does look good. I'll tell you that much. Just the trailer, it looks really, really good. I saw that, you know, I can't get a lot of things because of my IP address, so I'll see something from like CBS.com or NBC.com, and it's geo-blocked. So, yeah, and I have a geo-blocker and all that kind of stuff, but it's a pain in the butt to get going. So so I subscribe to YouTube channels for The Late Late Show and for Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and, you know, stuff like that. But I did see in a clip that Jeffrey Tambor, who plays Maura Pufferman on Amazon's Transparent, dropped by the Late Late Show with James Corden earlier this week, and the two discussed, among other things, Caitlyn Jenner. Have a little listen to this, because I thought it was really cute.
Do you think you look older or younger as a woman?
Good question. That's a good question.
That's a very good question. I think I look better.
I think you look older as a woman. I think you look older as a woman because of the longer...
I like Maura very much, and also the added benefit is I get to go to the hair department for the first time in 35 years.
You recently met with Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, a group of us from the cast had dinner with her, and she's amazing and gorgeous and very dedicated. And you know, the bottom line about all of this is serious business. I mean, it's about safety and it's about lives are at stake. And so she was very, very, very beautiful about it, and she's very well intentioned, and I was very impressed, you know. And it's odd. I mean, I'm a cisgender male, and I've been honored with the privilege of playing this role. So I'm humbled when I meet Caitlyn and talk to her. And she was fabulous.
I think she's
really, really well versed, and she's committed and terrific.
I loved it. I really did. I loved it. I thought that was amazing. She is committed. We are up to, I think, episode 2 in I Am Kate, and I think in the States it's up to episode 3, so we're one behind. They release them every 2 weeks here, not every week, so we're falling behind, but I get to see clips and read articles all the time, and then I'm waiting for the next episode. I read somewhere that the viewership dropped by 50% on episode 2, and you know what? Who cares? People were just sniffing around to watch the first episode to see how it would go, see what she looked like and all that. But, you know, those of us that are, like, invested in it now, we're sticking around. I'm not worried about that. It's an 8-part docuseries, so there's only so many. But I think every step of the way and in every episode we're seeing that it's not just about being a spokesperson. A spokesperson. It's about realizing what you're speaking about, and I like that she's taking us on this journey to what she's learning, and we're getting to experience that with her. We're getting to learn along with her, and that's really important. And I don't know. I think it's going to be I think it's a great way right now, and it's really needed on how to educate people about the trans issues, the struggles that they have. You know, everything from employment to relationships, their families. It's important to hear those stories. You can't just hear the success stories. You got to know about the struggles that came along with it. So I think that's an important thing that that Caitlyn's taking on, and I think it's important that she's taking us along with her. So that's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. It's finally. Slowly, some news is leaking out about Lady Gaga's part in American Horror Story Hotel. Just coming to light, Ryan Murphy gave us some insight. Lady Gaga will play a bisexual villain in the 4th season of American Horror Story Hotel. The show's creator, Ryan Murphy, revealed details of her evil character during the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour. And this statement was, I think, from Saturday, August 8th. Her character's name is Elizabeth. She owns the hotel, he said. She's a very wealthy social doyen who is consumed with art, fashion, and people, and she has a nefarious plan that is revealed in the first episode that plays out over the entire season. Gaga, who is bisexual in real life, in a relationship with Chicago Fire star Taylor Kinney, starts filming on Monday. Asked about LGBTI storylines, Murphy replied, Lady Gaga plays a character who has relationships with Matt Bomer, Angela Bassett, and Cheyenne Jackson. Openly gay Bomer said his character Donovan was closely associated with Ms. Gaga's character, and he has a very interesting relationship with the lady folk in his life. Bassett plays the sexy Ramona Royale. She says, I have a very strong, real, lasting relationship with Lady Gaga's character. And my character is also this fabulous actress. I don't live at the hotel, but I visit there a lot. So it's something to look forward to, man. American Horror Story will debut on Fox in November. So that's pretty cool. And I was, you know, like, I was thinking about, like, wow, you know, how far Lady Gaga has come and everything. And this is going to sound funny, but you know what? I'm going to play one of my favorite Lady Gaga songs, because I know everybody loves Born This Way and Edge of Glory and all that kind of stuff. But mine is kind of one of those obscure songs that didn't get that much attention, but we know it. And I'm going to play it for you right now. Here's Americano. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I love that song. What else do we have in the news? The first trailer for Stonewall, about the 1969 Stonewall riots, largely credited for launching the modern movement for LGBT rights, debuted on Tuesday. It's true. Almost immediately, though, people began taking up issue with the film. The trailer depicts main character Danny moving to New York City and falling in with a group of LGBT kids who frequent the Stonewall Inn, the namesake of the riots that started on June 28, 1969. However, while what happened that night, era before social media, basically, it wasn't precisely recorded. Most of the LGBT people on the front lines of the Stonewall riots were people of color, trans people, and lesbians. Not a cisgender white gay man, as the trailer depicts. Director Roland Emmerich says, "I understand that following the release of our trailer, there have been initial concerns about how this character's involvement is portrayed." Emmerich continued, this was on his Facebook page too. When this film, which is truly a labor of love for me, finally comes to the theaters, audience will see that it deeply honors the real-life activists who were there, including Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, and Ray Castro, and all the brave people who sparked the civil rights movement who continue to work this day. We're all the same in our struggle for acceptance. You know what? I get that it was kind of whitewashed for mainstream cinema appeal. I do understand it. I hate that it has to be that way, but I think we're moving towards a time when we won't have to do it. So I just think it's, you know, it's you know, you feel conflicted. Like, a part of you says, well, you know, like, let's keep it as close to the truth as possible. And another part says, let's get it out there. So I think this is a compromise between the two things, basically. Like I said, we're getting towards a time when we won't have to, you know, gloss things over for mass appeal. So hang in there, hang in there. I still want to see it. I mean, I definitely have to support it, but, you know, like I said, it's conflicting. It's tough. This week, New Yorkers woke up to find Calvin Klein Jeans' new fall campaign, which features a gay male couple for the first time in the brand's history. This was posted on one of the biggest billboards in the city, and it certainly makes up for months of having to look at Justin Bieber's digitally enhanced crotch. The picture, lensed by Mario Sorrenti, shows models Reed Rawling and Ethan James Green entwined, visibly about to lock lips, while a suggestive text conversation appears in the corner of the frame. The image was chosen to appear on the brand's most visible advertising space at the corner of Houston and Lafayette in New York City, which is one of the busiest intersections in Manhattan. So that's kind of cool. I mean, talk about coming a long way. Like, damn. So have you guys heard of Mr. Victor? Victor Belmont, that is, to his fans. He is a tattooed trans male who models, and he's also an escort. He's recently been featured on BuzzFeed and Huffington Post with his... I read the article, and I thought it was really, really interesting, and I took a look at his Tumblr account, which is full of an array of sexy pictures and videos, and it's very not safe for work. So keep that in mind when you go clicking around now, because you're interested. But and I'll give you the website, but just so you know, it is definitely not safe for work. On his site, he says about himself, "My relationships aren't based off heteronormative or monogamous model. Mine are each unique, just as the individual I have in my life is unique. I don't label any of my sweethearts as one type. They all have a special place in my life and in my heart. As an example, I've had the same lover in my life for 7 years. I love him deeply, and we have never really lived in the same city. He will have boyfriends and dates besides me, but he prioritizes me in his life, and when we see each other, it's just as magnetic and incredible as the last time. He sets my heart on fire, but I might not see him for months at a time. I feel like 7 years is a pretty serious amount of time, and he encourages me to do what feels good for me, including escorting." So, you know, pretty honest. It's a really graphic Tumblr site. It shows every inch of Victor. Some really hot shots of him and his lover going at it. The best part about this is that Victor hasn't had bottom surgery. He discusses his top surgery in the articles on HuffPost and BuzzFeed, saying that his surgery scars, that he's proud of those, and he wears them proudly and doesn't try and cover them up. And I love that he never really addresses anything about his lower half. So basically, having a honeypot doesn't appear to be getting in the way of anything. Work, photographs, video, softcore porn, you name it, it's all on there. And here's the thing, the fact that he's been featured on BuzzFeed and Huffington Post, with his Tumblr and Instagram noted in the articles, means that he's getting so much more traffic, and this means that people are becoming less scared and more curious, and that's leading them to educate themselves more on trans issues. He regularly engages with fans and site visitors and seems really honest and open when he answers their questions. And that can only be a good thing. And he is gorgeous. He's adorable. And can be super hot and super sexy and yet has this adorable little face. I can't even. So yeah, I definitely checked it out. And I like the fact that he will answer questions about just about anything, like sex, love, identifying, gender conformity, and of course, his going rate from rentboy.com. A few little interactions I noted. Somebody asked, I know you're a rent boy, but how much does it cost to buy you? And Victor responded, well, I'm $250 an hour and $1,500 for an overnight, so it depends on how long you'd want to see me. So quite honest about his line of work and everything. Somebody else said, serious question, are you attracted to males or females? Because you just gave me a total boner. And he answered, I'm attracted to people who like pizza, blowjobs, and can at any minute have a pillow fight with me. Those are the requirements for who I want to share my bed with. Also, generally, I date boys, but it's what's in someone's heart that gives me a boner. So I totally respect this guy. I love it. And so I know you want to have a peek. So the website is 20-something, all spelled out, 20somethingtransboytrick.tumblr.com. And I did like that there was a little video, and I'm going to play some audio from it. And this is Victor talking about Victor and what he does best.
I can satisfy someone in a way that's incredibly like for me. I'm really good at what I do. You know, it's a basic need. Being sexy is being who you are all the time. And the guys that hire me know that.
So that's pretty cool. So yeah, it's going to satisfy you in a way that's life-affirming. all right, you know what? Let's cool things down just a little bit. Whew! I think we definitely need this song right about now. God, sometimes you just need a little pepper mache in your life, you know what I'm saying? Seriously, that's another song, man. Just takes you right back to those queer folk days, doesn't it? We're going to talk a little bit about that more in a minute, but the Michigan Women's Music Festival came to a close this weekend. the end of an era, as some would say. Looks like Betty played, according to their Facebook. So the women went nuts, and that chapter of history is now closed. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I got a chance to speak with out musician Melissa Farrick for She Magazine. And Melissa's played the festival before, and the topic came up. And so I want to play this part of the... I want to play the interview for you because I think it's really important. Obviously, you can tell she has some thoughts on the topic. We also discussed her new self-titled album. This is her 12th original. And we talked about the highly celebrated Michigan Women's Festival and her thoughts on it. So have a little listen to me and Melissa Farrick. So I want to make sure I have my facts straight. This is your 12th album, right?
Yeah, so it's the 12th album of original material. It's the 18th release.
Okay.
Yeah, the number is a little, you know, because I don't really count live records and EPs as albums, you know?
Right.
So 12th original album, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Original album, yeah.
And I felt like, and I don't know if it's just me, but I felt like it had a really different feel to it. Like, you know, the solo effort is so commendable. It's just like a girl and her guitar, and it was so raw and so powerful. Was that the intention behind it?
Yeah, so I'm really happy with it. I mean, it just feels so much more like me, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Than the last couple of releases.
Right.
I think the songwriting is getting stronger and stronger, and I'm really proud of the last couple records I made. But they're really, although I think that The Truth Is and Still Right Here had elements, I recorded it at home, you know what I mean? So it's just me at home recording and me playing everything. And I was really influenced by, sonically, particularly the Bon Iver record for Emma Forever, which is just a beautiful record that I bought on vinyl last year.
Uh-huh.
And I just started listening to kind of constantly. And then, that really spilled over into how the kind of sounds I was going to try to go for, and getting back to a lot of layered vocals, and that kind of harks back to, oddly enough, Massive Blur, which was my first record, which there are a ton of layered vocals on, and I just thought, you know, maybe I'll kind of, I did go back and listen to my early records and thought about, you know, what sound I was kind of imprinted with my first producer, Gavin Killip, and then I listened to Still Right Here, and I just thought about how kind of almost wannabe commercial it sounded, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And how much I dislike that, and how that's really not me, and even the photographs and stuff, just how posed they were, and I just really was done doing that, you know? And so that's why I self-titled this, too, because it's like, you know, the shot, I don't know if you've seen the artwork, but the shot on the covers, it's a black and white shot, and there's no text at all on the artwork, and it's just, you know, I'm wearing my own clothes, and my sister did my quote-unquote makeup, you know, there's, like, really not any makeup, so,
right.
Just looks like me, what a concept, you know?
You've got a really cool side gig teaching at Berkeley. What is what's that like, seeing all that up-and-coming talent that's there?
And so what's happened typically is that I've discovered a number of students that I think are just extraordinary. What I think I get more out of it, that's not probably true, but I know they get a lot out of classes with me, but I feel way inspired about music, the music business, the level of songwriting that's going on. These kids, like, you know, they can't believe that I, you know, had met Jeff Buckley and that I,
yeah.
You know, that I toured with Chris Lee. I mean, they know these guys' names, you know, they know who Dana Kurtz is, you know, the ones that I vibe with anyway, you know, they want to know about, you know, what do you mean you did a Tower Records tour with Evan Danto, you know what I mean? They're,
yeah.
Like, they think it's like the coolest thing in the world, like, they make me feel like I'm cool, and then they turn me on to all the cool new bands, and
right.
I don't think,
yeah.
That I would be, you know, at 44 years old, I don't think I would be at on top of the new bands right now, the new songwriters. I don't think I would be if it wasn't for them, because they're sending me that music. And so that, because I use their songs as examples rather than my,
yeah.
You know, I'm not as much of a crunchy old professor as I am. Okay, play, you know, bring me in songs that have what you think is a killer chorus, you know, or bring me in the best bridge you've heard this year, you know, and they bring in, that's how I found out about Daughter. And, you know, that's how I got turned on to Dawes, and, like, you know, I mean, I don't think I would have discovered these bands if it wasn't these kids, you know? So,
yeah, they do.
I'm psyched about it.
They will keep you fresh, won't they?
They do, but it's also extremely time-consuming, and it's caused a lot of rifts with some fans. Like, I'm unable to tour as much, and I wasn't writing as much, and that really got hard about, I would say, after Still Right Here and before The Truth Is, which was part of the letting go of the Empress deal, too. You know, I was teaching full-time, basically, and trying to tour and promote an album, particularly The Truth Is, that would later go on to win, like, you know, the IMA for All Country Album of the Year. Like, it was a pretty big record for me, and, like, I really wasn't able to be as physically present to promote it as I probably should have been.
Right, yeah, something
and
always
that was
suffering.
Really hard.
Yeah, yeah. When you stretch yourself like that, something ends up
I was
suffering.
Stretched way too thin, yeah. I was stretched way too thin, and I got so far so that I actually was diagnosed with a heart condition.
Oh, my God.
So I got, like, way too stressed out and way too exhausted, and I have these things called PVCs, which are premature ventricular contractions, and I had to go to MGH, and so it's not life-threatening or anything, but I'm now on a heart medication, and so it's caused me to change my schedule, you know, and I did write about it in a blog a while ago, but, I just kind of just to put it out to the fans, like, look at this. You know, because there are some people that, like, I do get rude emails, you know, like, how come you never fucking come to, Phoenix, Arizona anymore, or whatever, and I'm like, so I'm probably never going to play Lincoln, Nebraska again. I'm probably not, you know, and I just, you know, I am where I am, you know what I mean, and I'm happy in a crazy, fantastic relationship, and, you know, there's kids involved now, and, like, I'm teaching, so Bonnie, my boss, and I, and actually Roger Brown is the president of Berkeley, we've created a schedule for me that really works well for me, and so I only teach in the spring. The spring semester I teach a biweekly course that I wrote myself called 21st Century DIY, where I handpick the students, and it's a 3-hour class, and so for me, I quote-unquote only have to be on campus 8 times a semester,
and then
in the summer, I'm the artistic director of the 5-week program's, you know, singer-songwriter division, and that is a huge responsibility, and I love it, and that just started yesterday, you know, so that's enough for me right now, but it keeps me in the loop as a faculty member at Berkeley, and I'm an associate professor now, and I got a little bit of a raise. And,
that's sweet.
You know, they're just being so good to me, and I'm continuing my own education at the same time and finishing my degree, so for me, it might mean, you know, as far as the touring factor goes, it might mean that I don't go further west than Chicago, and I don't go further, you know, I go down to Florida, and I go back up the 95 corridor, and that's just going to have to be enough,
Yeah, it's true.
And I can do online concerts now, and people can watch online shows from my living room, from my backyard,
Your LGBT fan base is huge, and it's so loyal, and I know that they look forward to a She magazine Melissa Ferrett cover like nobody's business. So is there anything in particular that you get from them, or that you, like, you feel like you want to say to them directly?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the trans thing is a really big deal, you know. I got a lot of slack back, or a lot of some for playing Michigan, you know, and I just feel really, just very confused about that. I made a pretty prolific, written, you know, I mean, I had a lot of help from my friend Alex Olson about, you know, that I'm showing up to Michigan to honor, the women who came before me, you know, and that's why I play that, and that I play in clubs all over the country where I don't necessarily agree with all of the politics of the person who owns the venue, you know what I mean? And I don't.
Right.
I don't not play a certain bar because the guy, you know, contributes money to, maybe the guy's pro-life, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and but I'm not going to not play the gig and fill it with queer people and have our night there, you know, so, you know, of course I believe in equal rights for all human beings, and I just feel a little misunderstood around that, and that's, I haven't really said much about it, but I just, you know, I'm really glad that Michigan is going to change after this year.
Yeah.
You know, and, I don't know what else to say about it except for the fact that, you know, this is just me, you know, I'm playing Michigan because they invited me to play it, and because I just honor these older women that came before me that went through so much hell to even,
yeah,
you know,
yep,
be able to try to live their own lives. And you know, I'm not in charge of making the rules.
Exactly.
I'm not.
Exactly.
I go to play a 40-minute set and say thank you for believing in my music, and thank you for contributing to my art. I don't know. It's a really tough thing. I would certainly believe in people's right to boycott, you know, Lucy Defects.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but I think they're a bigger and much more offensive thing, institutions and companies that would be worth boycotting.
Exactly.
At a festival in the middle of Michigan that's just been trying to do, you know, create space for people for the last 40 years, you know.
And
there are lots of trans folks walking around the land, because I've been there for the last 5 years, and I've met them. So I don't know, you know, I'm excited for it to happen and be done, and to close the door on this chapter and move on, you know.
Anxious to see what they'll become. It'll be quite interesting to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, well, and I think what I'm curious about is, as it moves, when it does move on, which it will, and it will become something new, I really hope I'm invited, you know. I hope that me kind of sticking and standing ground, you know, there and just saying I'm just going to show up, because I believe in supporting, you know, GLBT artists and people of all, you know, of all walks of life in that world. Because I'm one of them, you know, and
exactly.
So I do want to be a part. I do want to be a part of. I'm not trying to. Listen, this is exactly what people who hate LGBT people want us to do, which is to fight each other.
Yeah, to cause strife.
It gets us nowhere. You know, and so we're better off together. And I have always believed that. And so I really hope that Michigan does become a space for all togetherness, you know, and that is the goal. But in the meantime, let's not hate on each other, and let's not, you know, boycott each other. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. You know what? That is a perfect way to end this. It's so true. And I thank you. I didn't mean to take up this much of your time by any means. But this is fantastic.
Oh, no, it's great. I love talking.
That's great.
Yeah.
Melissa, thank you. Thank you so, so much. So fun. That was Melissa Farrick, and that was from my She Magazine interview this month. She was the cover girl. We spoke a lot about her newest self-titled album. This was her 12th original, as you heard in the interview. And if you want more information about the album or how to download it, go to melissafarrick.com. In the meantime, I want to play you one of my favorites called Trust It All.
My mind go, couldn't change just one thing. I'm gonna stretch my thinking, trust it all. Yeah, trust it all. The snow melts, trees bloom, hearts beat, and oceans move. Nothing I can do here but just be me. Nothing I can fix. No amount of push is gonna switch the outcome, cause out it comes. And I see all that worrying was wasteful, all that planning was useless. So with the spirit of forgiveness, with the heart of pure love, I'm gonna live. Poor me, so with happy songs on shopping. seductions move. Trust it all. Trust it all.
Oh, man, that was fun. What do you think of that song? It's great. You guys, I'm telling you, go to melissaferrick.com, check it all out, download the newest album. It's fantastic. It really is. I've had the privilege of listening to all the tracks, and it's just really fantastic. So, like I said, this weekend we played a little iPod roulette, and I had some country on there. Not a shame. I had a little Toby Keith, I had a little Shania Twain, I had a little Faith Hill, had a little Tim McGraw. We did discuss Toby Keith, and that is hardcore country, the girls noted. That is beer-guzzling, gun-carrying, rapey country-western music right there. I'm a huge fan of Toby Keith. I actually love him. I don't think I would ever want to be in a dark alley and come upon him, but I do love him. So, we played a little of this. Donald Trump once again showed his true colors at the GOP debate, taking a shot at Rosie O'Donnell when host moderator Megyn Kelly mentioned that he's called women fat, disgusting pigs before. Trump interjected, saying, "Only Rosie O'Donnell," with a laugh. Seriously, you guys. Rosie immediately tweeted, "Try explaining that to your kids." And she makes a perfect point. If Trump the twat waffle makes it into office, do you realize the sheer idiocracy that you will have to be explaining to your children on a regular basis, people? The scary part is that he's leading in the polls. Like, you might have this fucking donut hole as president. So you need to do your homework and get your shit sorted, America. Seriously. Wow. I can't even, don't even let me go off on a tangent where he's concerned. Okay, on to other things. There's a new website now called Find Femmes, and they want to change the dating world by forming a virtual community for femme lesbians and bisexual women. So whether the user identifies as a femme themselves or they're aiming to connect with other femme queer women for love or friendship, Find Femmes wants to help make that happen. And the site was launched by our friends, the Wegan Girls. You know the girls, the blonde girls, Megan and Whitney from What Wegan Did Next blog fame. And I've got the article from Huffington Post. We're going to have them on, but amazing the coverage that they're getting. We know firsthand how hard it is to find love, especially when you're a femme lesbian. It's hard to get recognized and believed as being gay, says Megan Evans, who founded the website with wife Whitney Bacon. We suffer from femme invisibility and heteronormativity. Gaydar lets us down, and everyone assumes that you're straight. Or even worse for us, they think we're sisters. While the site's in its early stages, Evans and Bacon have high hopes for the live result of their work connecting femme women who are interested in other femme women. I like the concept. I think this is great for, like, you know, young 20, 30-year-olds. I think this is fantastic. But I think in your late 30s, early 40s, there's another element that's added to what you're looking for. And it's not so much about what a person looks like. It's what's on the inside. So, you know, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I think this is a great way for them. Like they said, they have a hard time. People don't think that they're gay. So I'm sure that a lot of femme lesbians have that same thing. But I think by the time you're older, you know where to look. You know, you're more self-aware. You know how to explain yourself a little bit better. And you may not need such a focused agenda, if you will. But you know what? I wish them the best. And we'll be chatting with the girls soon, and we'll get more of their perspective on the new endeavor. But for now, a big round of applause there for Fine Femmes, because this is big news. Another song we played at the campsite. Everybody knows it. Worldwide. You U.S. soccer star Megan Rapinoe, or Rapinoe as they say over here, announced this week that she and musician Sarah Cahoon are engaged. Oh, ladies, I collectively heard your ears, you single girls, I collectively heard your hearts breaking online. I feel for you. I know you were all holding out, or maybe you thought that you had a shot, but here's the deal. too late. So anyways, pretty aware of how backwards Australia is on the gay marriage thing, but the Australian Parliament will introduce marriage equality legislation on Tuesday as legislators return to Canberra, the capital of Australia, where they were welcomed with a clear message at the airport. The terminal was lit up in rainbow colors and a huge sign broadcasting, "We can do this." This week, the Australian Parliament is set to debate a new marriage equality bill with cross-party support. If you have something to say on the subject, use the hashtag We Can Do This and show your support. Pretty cool. You know, I love this mashup. I keep playing it because I can't get enough of it. This is the Glee cast with Rumor Has It, Someone Like Me. In celeb news, Jen Aniston got married to Justin Theroux and totally pulled it off without paparazzi knowing. I don't know what I was more happy about, that they're finally married and the media will leave her alone about the whole thing, or that she gave a big fuck you to TMZ by pulling this off. People went thinking that it was a birthday party for Justin, and you know, it happened to be a wedding. There was only 70 people, and I don't think that anybody really understood until the caterers brought in the cake and whatnot as part of the setup, but it was very closely guarded, and I'm pretty sure the people that were invited may have known, but to everybody on the outside, it just looked like a birthday party, and that's the way to do it. Jon Stewart officially said goodbye to The Daily Show, and God damn it, Stephen Colbert made us cry. Uzo Adubo of Orange is the New Black has been cast as Glinda the Good Witch and in the NBC live version of The Wiz, along with Glee's Amber Riley. Oh, look how timed this song was. That's Amber right now. Oh, here's big news. Lenny Kravitz split his leather pants on stage in Sweden, and his giant wang totally flopped out. The GIF and the video going viral within a day. The best tweet that I saw about it was from Angie Davis, who said, "I feel like Lenny Kravitz went through a lot of trouble just to send me a dick pic." And as I said before, it's been 10 years since Showtime's Queer as Folk ended on exactly August 7th, 2005. After 5 seasons, there is a fantastic article out right now on attitude.co.uk. It's a gay website, and it really reminds us of why the show is so important. There's no doubt that it's still one of the most groundbreaking, important television shows that was that our community really ever had, and it just paved the way for so much more. And if you doubt that, the show itself, if you doubt what it meant to us as a community. Listen to this audio clip where from one of the later episodes where Michael, played by Hal Sparks, got the chance to speak to his town council with his family and friends standing by at a packed press conference in his hometown. I loved this, and I loved Michael's innocence in talking about it. It's a really great clip, and I think it kind of reminds us why Queer as Folk was as great as it was.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Oh, I already said that part. It's an honor to stand here today, considering a few weeks ago the doctors weren't sure I was going to make it. But I was one of the lucky ones. I'm here. And as terrifying as that evening was, I would be there again to defeat a bill that would deny rights to Americans just because they're gay. Wonderful kids, a home, a small business. The truth is, I'm just like you. Actually, that's not the truth. Sure, in a lot of ways, I am just like you.
some security, a little extra money in my pocket. But in many ways, my life is nothing like yours. Why should it be? Do we all have to have the same lives to have the same rights? I mean, I thought that diversity was what this country was all about. In the gay community, we have drag queens, leather daddies, trannies, and couples with children. Every color of the rainbow. My mother's standing way in the back with some friends. My friend. Once told me that people are like snowflakes. Everyone special and unique. And in the morning you have to shovel them off the driveway. But being different is what makes us all the same. It's what makes us family.
Oh, see, doesn't it make you miss it just a little bit? I miss it. We're getting there, people, we're getting there. On that note, I'm going to hit the road and say goodbye. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for keeping the show alive. You can follow me on Twitter at Lesbian Lounge. You can find our best of clips at www.soundcloud.com/mylesbianradio. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Facebook, Twitter. You can email me at deniseanddonna@gmail.com. I'm going to send you off with two great songs from the Queer as Folk soundtrack. One of them is called Hide You by Cosheen, and the other one is Shine by Cyndi Lauper. Come back next week. Love you. Mean it. See you later. Bye-bye.